This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for our Wednesday COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined today by Dr. Joshua Clayton, State Epidemiologist, and Kim Malsom-Risden, Secretary of Health. Dr. Clayton will give the update for cases today, and then we will take your questions.
Good morning. Today we are reporting 81 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This includes 16 new hospitalizations, as well as one new death in a Beadle County resident. We have 90 new individuals who have recovered from COVID-19, and we've had 1,445 new negative tests that have been performed. This brings our total of COVID-19 cases to 5,604. And of those, we have 962 active infections, as well as 4,573 individuals who have recovered from the disease. We have 101 individuals who are currently hospitalized, 69 deaths, and a total of 55,081 persons that have tested negative for the disease. Our community impact map, Hyde County, is being elevated to minimal to moderate community spread. And so for our cases by county, we have 12 in Beadle, 2 in Brookings, 2 in Brown, 1 in Buffalo, 1 in Clark, 4 in Clay, 1 in Coddington, 2 in Corson, 9 in Falk, 1 in Hamlin, 2 in Hutchinson, 3 in Lincoln, 3 in Lyman, 1 in McCook, 2 in Meade, 12 in Minnehaha, 5 in Oglala Lakota, 14 in Pennington, 2 in Todd, and 2 in Union. For new cases by age range, we have 8 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 27 in the 20 to 29 year, 16 in the 30 to 39 year, 10 in the 40 to 49 year, 13 in the 50 to 59 year, 3 in the 60 to 69 year, and 5 in the 80 and over. For new cases by sex, we have 38 that are male and 43 that are female. For the deaths by county, we have 6 in Beadle, 1 in Brown, 1 in Girald, 1 in Lake, 1 in McCook, 1 in Meade, 51 in Minnehaha, 6 in Pennington, and 1 in Todd. For deaths by age range, we have 1 in the 20 to 29 year, 3 in the 30 to 39 year, 4 in the 40 to 49 year, 10 in the 50 to 59 year, 11 in the 60 to 69 year, 6 in the 70 to 79 year, and 34 in the 80 and over. For deaths by sex, we have 31 that are male and 38 that are female. For our cluster updates, we have a total of 155 of 165 cases at DEMCOTA facility that have recovered. 67 out of 112 at the Jack Lynx facility that have recovered, and 25 of the 56 cases at Dakota Provisions that have recovered. There are no additional updates for the Smithfield recoveries. And I'll turn it over to Secretary Malsom-Risden to give an update on our nursing home numbers.
Thank you, Dr. Clayton. So with our long-term care mass testing, the current totals are 6,979 residents have been tested and 9,249 staff have been tested. That's a total of 16,228. Our number of positives remains 37 for residents and 29 for staff. I also want to provide an update on the cases at Adventera Arrowhead in Rapid City. The total reported from the facility as of today are 9 staff and 18 residents positive, and that includes 2 additional residents that were reported last night.
With that, I'll unmute our lines and we'll take.
Yes, good morning, JP from KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Regarding negative tests in Davison County, about a week ago, the total was 832. Today it is up to about 1,250, which is an increase of about 418. What would you attribute this significant increase in the number of negative tests? Is this related to the nursing homes and assisted living facilities, or is there something else?
It is multi-part. So we have individuals who are being tested within the county, as well as some of the nursing home and assisted living center testing. The other thing that we have been doing is to try and decrease the number of unassigned by county, those negative tests. So we have had some improvement in identification of those by county. So we've gone back into those records as that number had ballooned for some time. And we cleaned some of those negative tests up. So those have been being reported back based on either the priority levels are either the individual where that person resides or back to the facility that had ordered the test. And so we were able to get some additional information to help fill those counties in.
Thank you.
Next question.
Certainly.
It's Benjamin Chase with the Plainsman here on.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm just curious. You did some mass testing, or the facility did mass testing at Link Snacks in Alpena. Curious if there's any mass testing planned at Dakota Provisions at this time.
So we do have a our team that is reaching out to Dakota Provisions, and one of the things that will be discussed in addition to offering support to help review their processes, including that may include a on-site visit, would also be to discuss the mass testing and how the state can help support those efforts.
Next question.
Ray Olson, News.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yes, with regard to nursing homes and testing, one of the CMS's recommendations is possibly continue testing as they reopen, and then PPE equipment that's needed. Can you speak to that?
Sure, Ray, this is Kim Olson-Reisen. So regarding PPE, that's been something that we've been working with the nursing homes and other facilities with for some time, and so nursing homes actually got a delivery of PPE directly from the federal government here a few weeks ago, but we actively assist any nursing homes that need access to PPE through the state cash. And that will continue to be something that we support those facilities with, as we move forward with our COVID response. Remind me of the first part of your question.
Mass testing, or at least periodic testing, is one of the recommendations for nursing homes. How does is that possible, and who pays for that? Because right now the state is, and some federal is, going forward.
Sure. So going forward, what we're asking nursing homes to do after they complete their mass testing is to do sentinel testing, which is a very small sample of individuals that are randomly selected on a weekly basis to see if there's, any potential COVID issues happening. The other strategy then, the third strategy around testing with this group will be point prevalence testing in the event that a person is symptomatic, test positive, and then we would do some targeted testing depending on what that situation looks like so that we can, again, be very proactive around COVID in these places.
The cost associated with that, is that something the nursing homes will have to pick up?
So we're working through that right now. At this point, the state is supporting those efforts and paying for the test processing.
Thank you.
Next question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, the numbers that you mentioned about the mass testing, do those include both nursing homes and the assisted living facilities?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And how many more tests do you have to do for the long-term care facilities?
I don't have the numbers broken out. I can tell you that we are essentially complete with tiers one and two, which would have been all the nursing homes and any nursing homes with connected assisted living. We are about 80% done with tier three and 40% done with tier four. Tier three and tier four were the assisted living centers that are not connected to nursing homes across the state. The ones that are remaining to be done are scheduled and or in process of happening right now.
Okay. Next question.
Allie Hertz from the Press and Dakotan.
That's pretty.
I heard the Press and Dakotan.
Yeah. I have two questions. Is there any update on the exposure alert that was put out for Clay County? And are the cases at the Pennington County Nursing Home, are they related to the mass testing, or do they stand apart?
I'll go ahead and answer the first question. So we put out public notice, and we have not specifically seen cases that have arisen from that. We often don't necessarily identify specific cases, given that we're not asking specifically about those as areas of potential exposure. What we do focus on is the individuals who they were around and they may have exposed from the time that they were able to transmit the disease. And so we have a focus on making sure that we're doing those notifications based on cases. And the identification of larger exposure potential, we're not to the point, given the case volume, that we can identify, single or pairs of cases that come from a single event. But we do watch for larger sort of community exposure events or other events where we may have transmission.
For your second question, the mass testing at that facility did result in one resident being positive. The facility then did additional testing, again, which would be the recommendation, and there were five additional residents that were identified. And then we saw more cases identified this weekend.
Next question.
This is Morgan at the Rapid City Journal.
Go ahead, Morgan.
I guess, have you figured out why the cases are, rose so much at that one place? Or?
So, Morgan, this is Kim. The process for when we see cases in long-term care, and I will just back up, and before we saw any cases in long-term care, the Department of Health has been surveying these facilities for infection control practices, because that's a really key aspect of, preventing COVID and managing COVID. In addition, the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services surveyed two facilities in our state, and actually one of the two that they surveyed happened to be this particular facility. So that happened before we did the mass testing. When we do see a positive case in a resident, then the Department of Health does another survey, goes on site, reviews practices, provides guidance, makes sure that they're using PPE appropriately, that they're appropriately cohorting residents to try to minimize the spread, that they've got good practices in place relative to their staff, that they're screening staff, and those staff are, again, using PPE, that they're using social distancing among people, and, again, just an overall review of those practices. So that helps us pinpoint if there are ways that, that we can minimize that spread. At this point, I don't have other information to share about this particular facility.
Next question.
Yeah, JP from KRN News Radio again.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Have you begun testing at the congregate living facilities yet? And if so, how is that going?
We are not into that phase yet. That will be the next phase that we enter, but I don't have the schedule quite firmed up yet.
Thank you.
All right, we have time for one more question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Are you expecting any coronavirus clusters among farm workers like we've seen at the processing facilities?
I know that other states, Dr. Clayton, I know that other states have seen cases among some migrant workers, and so there is some CDC guidance that is out there on the website now to help those employers, work through and help maintain appropriate separation, physical distancing of individuals who are working and, still able to support ongoing efforts to support the food chain. So there is information out there, and we have that linked on our Department of Health website.
All right. Thank you all for joining us this morning, and we will visit with you again on Friday.